Ezekiel chapter number 36. We're going to start in verse number 16. We'll read part of this. Kind of gives another biography of the nation of Israel, kind of what Israel, you know, they're a roller coaster nation, but you know, they illustrate the life of most Christians, you know. And I gotta say, you know, we go up and down, you know. We love God, and then, you know, the devil, you know, brings temptations, and we yield to those, and it's just a constant battle to stay right with God. And it was for the Israelites, and they're a picture of the Christian life, the Christian walk. But Ezekiel chapter 36, we're going to start in verse number 16. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse number 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way, and according to their doings I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said to them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, This land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced, and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places, and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. As the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with the flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. Lord, I thank you for your grace manifested that we see in this passage, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for your grace in my life. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to be saved. And Lord, I'm not worthy. Lord, I'm not worthy to be here. I'm not worthy to stand here. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just touch my lips this morning. I pray that you just guide everything that I say. Holy Spirit, I pray that you just help me to speak only what you would have me to speak and not say things I shouldn't. And Lord, I pray that above all, you'd be glorified. Help us all in this morning service, help pastors he preaches later, help the junior churches, help the Sunday school teachers as they're teaching. Pray that you guide us and direct us today. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here, starting at verse number 16, it gives us basically, like I said earlier, it gives us a kind of a biography or a testimony of the nation of Israel. And I'm going to pick out a couple things, and then we're going to focus on one primary thought this morning. But if you'll notice down in verse number 20, it says, "And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name." And, you know, I kind of wonder sometimes, God gives us different reasons why he does different things. But most of the time, you know, one of the things that God, and we've mentioned this before, but one of the things that God is very jealous of is his name. Okay, and we can read down through here, verse number 21. "But I had pity for mine holy name." Okay, why? Because this was the nation, this was the land of Israel. I've been, in my personal devotions, I've been really looking at Abraham. And we can go back to, you know, because this is where the nation of Israel started. Well, I understand it was Jacob, okay, but it started with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And it was with that first covenant that God made with Abraham. And it's like, why did God pick? And I don't really see why God picked Abraham. Out of all the sons, out of all the lineage of Shem that came down through the years, why did God pick Abraham? Well, I don't know if maybe Abraham had a closer walk with God or that he actually made God personal to him. But God chose Abraham, okay? And because of that, and it, we say, why is that? I don't know. Okay? I don't know. But I do believe that Abraham, we see that Abraham had a closer walk with God. But ultimately, it comes back to, why does God do things for his people? Well, it comes back to, God does it for his name. Okay? He does it to glorify himself. Well, Brother Chad, that just sounds like, well, it is God. Okay? That's the reason he put us here, is to worship with him and to honor him. Okay, we are his creation. All right, now, if you get to this mindset, well, does he really deserve that? Isn't that the same thoughts that Lucifer started having? Is that, well, I should have as much glory, I should have it. That's a thought that's put into our thought process from the devil. Okay, that's the same thought process that's the pride that the devil puts into us. So we see that God had pity for his holy name. All right. Verse 22, "Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither you went." And then what's God going to do? All right. He's going to verse 24, "I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all nations and will bring you into your own land." Why did God save me? Was it because I deserved to be saved? No. God did it because he's God. That's what he wanted to do. Okay? God could have just wiped us all out. He had no obligation to save mankind or to provide a sacrifice, a propitiation for our sin. He had no obligation to do that. He did it for his own name's sake. Okay? Why does God save people? It's by the grace of God. Unmerited favor. Okay, we don't deserve it, you don't deserve it, I don't deserve it. It's God's grace. That's why he saved us, to honor his name, okay, to glorify his name. The sad thing is most Christians, or a lot of Christians, we get saved, and then we don't live our lives honoring God. Well, isn't that one of the whole reasons he saved us, is to bring honor and glory to himself, okay? So we got to be careful about that. But that's not necessarily what I'm going to talk about. Verse number 26 is where we're going to really kind of dive in, and we're going to look at this. Verse 26, the Bible says, "A new heart also will I give you." All right, so verse 24 and 25, we've taken, he's taken him from the heathen. Verse 25, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you." Then verse 26, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Now I want to talk about this morning, a heart of flesh. A heart of flesh. Because, okay, in verse 25, I kind of see that God has forgiven Israel of the sins. Okay, can you see that there? Right, verse 25, he says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness, from all your idols, will I cleanse you. Okay? And then he says, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Now, we're going to talk about the stony heart and the heart of flesh. Okay? Or we could say the soft heart. Because you can have a stony heart, okay, which is like a stone, it's hard. A flesh heart would be a soft heart, okay? And we're going to talk about these two things this morning because I believe what happens, a lot of Christians, and that I've found this is true in my life, okay? And this is true, and you'll if it hasn't happened, it will happen, okay, in all of your lives. But what happens is our hearts slowly become hard over time, okay? And you don't like me saying this, but your heart becomes hard over time. Okay? It does. My heart becomes hard over time. Okay? And we're going to look at this because if we're not careful, we allow our hearts to get hardened, and then things don't touch us the way that it used to be able to touch us. Okay? And we're going to look at the Bible about this. Let's go to Psalms chapter 95. Psalms chapter 95. Now, a couple weeks ago, we talked about briefly about how Pharaoh's heart was hardened and how he hardened his heart, okay? Well, he didn't allow his heart to be touched like he was previously. Psalm chapter 95, verse number 7, the Bible says, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work." I like that verse. They tempted me, they proved me, all right? They found out basically what I said is the truth, okay? They proved me, and then they found out the consequences, okay? And that's, believe me, I've been there, done that. I know I have tempted God, I've proved God, and I found out that what God says is true, okay, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, verse 10, and said, "It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath, they should not enter into my rest." So we have here a group of people, the Israelites, that they have hardened their heart as in the provocation. Now this is talking about when Israel came to the promised land, okay, and then they didn't go into the promised land, okay, that's where they're talking about, because then after that he says 40 years, so this is the time they spent in the wilderness after that, so after they hardened their heart, why did they harden their heart, okay, what makes us harden our heart? Well, I think a lot of times it's the cares of this world, it's the unconcern that we have. Now, I want to help us all this morning, because this happens to all of us, trust me, honestly. There's times recently that my heart's been hardened. And I want to explain what I'm talking about this morning. But our hearts are very easily hardened. Ezekiel chapter 36 says, "I will give you a heart of flesh." A heart of flesh. What is a heart of flesh? Okay, I brought a tennis ball. I didn't bring a rock. I should have brought a rock too. But I brought a tennis ball. A heart of flesh is a heart that's soft. Okay, now this is a tennis ball, so it's not like really hard, okay? I can still squeeze this ball, right? Okay? You can still squeeze a ball. It's fairly soft, all right? Well, a heart of flesh is something that can be affected by an outside source. Now think about this. What happens a lot of times in our Christian lives is we get this heart that's hardened. Nothing that pastor ever says up here ever touches our heart anymore. I don't know why some people come to church. They just sit there. And they don't let anything that is ever done affect their heart. Their heart just gets hard, okay? And anything that comes just hits that and deflects. Oh, that doesn't apply to me. I'm a seasoned Christian now. That doesn't affect me anymore. And what Pastor says, and it's not just the word, it's not Pastor Ross. It's the word of God, okay? Remember, Psalms chapter 90, wherever we were just at, Psalms chapter 95, okay? When God spoke to them, they had hardened their heart. Where does, everybody's seen the message, pastors preach it several times, about having a candle or a stone. And God said, my word is either going to be like a fire or like a hammer. And it's either going to, if you got a hard heart, God's word's going to come and start beating on it. But if you've got a soft heart, you know what God says? I'm going to light a fire and let it burn. But what I found in my life is so many times my heart gets hard. Okay, now I'm going to talk about this, and I'm going to talk about how this affects us. All right, let's go to Lamentations chapter number 3. Lamentations chapter number 3. I always want my heart. Now, I understand why a lot of people harden their heart. And I'm going to tell you here in a moment why a lot of people harden their heart. Lamentations chapter number 3. Sorry, it went the wrong way. Lamentations after Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter number 3. Say, Brother Chad, how do we keep our heart soft? How do we keep it where we're always affected? Lamentations chapter number 3. Look at verse number 51. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 51. The Bible says, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. How do you keep a soft heart? Well, what happens is a lot of times we harden our heart because we've stopped letting our eye affect our heart. Okay, we had a lot of bus kids in here this morning. I don't know all of them by name, but I know 80% of them by name. Okay? I've been to a lot of their houses, all right? And what happens is we come and we sit and we don't think about what happened in that child's life this past week. You don't think about, okay, that young person's got a bad attitude. True. Can't deny the fact. Their attitude stinks. But do you know what happened this past week in their life? Okay? If you would go to most of these folks' homes and see what they have to live through every week, okay? Why do we have a hard heart? Why do we not care about these people anymore? Because we don't let our eye affect our heart. We just get calloused and cold. And don't get me wrong, are there people out there that need help? And this is very true in today's society, okay? I will say this. How many times you go someplace and honestly, I don't give money to people. I mean, if I'm going to Terre Haute, you've got the line of people that stand there at Walmart, you know, when you're pulling out of Walmart. I don't give them, okay, most of them look like they're okay. They're standing there on their smartphone, you know, I need help to support my family. I have a real hard time with that. Okay, really, I do. But what's happened because of this, because we got so many people out there that are actually taking advantage of people's goodwill. You know, there's so many scams out there. There's so many people that say, well, I need help, and they really don't need help. They're just lazy, all right? And we've got all these people, but because of that, we've grouped everybody into one group, okay? And I'm guilty of this. And there's some people, it's like, I'm not helping them, all right? They just need to get up and get busy. Go do something. All right? And that's true. A lot of times that's true. But we can't ever get to the place where we've hardened our heart, where everything that comes just bounces off. Well, that doesn't. That's just one of those type of people. Is it, or do they really need help? Okay? You see a young person. And this has helped me change my mentality about young people. And I think it'll help you change your mentality about young people. When you see a young person Okay, when you see a young person, let's say if a young lady comes in and her hair is a different color. I mean, not like different color as in naturally different color. I'm talking about, you know, the blue, the purple, the stuff that's not natural. God did not give somebody blue hair. I've never seen it, okay? And you can think, well, what is wrong with them? Okay, what is that? The thought about what is wrong with them is when you've got a hard heart. The difference, there's two different types of heart, and I'm going to give you the two different reactions. One is, oh boy, what did Brother Jeff bring in this week? Okay, what did they bring in this week? Who did they bring this time? Okay, what's going on here? All right, what are they going to tear up while they're here? Okay, there's that thought process. Or there's this thought process, and this is what's helped me. That is a cry for help. That is a cry for help. Because you can have a hard heart and you can think, well, that's just, you know, bless God, that's not right. That's not the way we have our church set up, okay? Or you can be like, they're just trying to fit in with somebody. They're just trying to find, I hate to use the words that the world uses, but they're just trying to find, the world would say they're trying to find their identity. That's the world's terminology. And they are. They're trying to find a group of people that they can fit in with. And you can talk to that person. There's a young lady that I work with, we work with quite a bit, trying to get her to come. Her spirit is so sweet. But to look at her, she's got piercing. Everything's pierced. And you just, why is that, Brother Chad? It's because she's trying to fit in with a certain group of people. She's trying to get acceptance with a certain group of people. To me, that's a cry for help. It's not a thing that turns my heart off, because I don't want that to just not affect me. I don't want my heart to just be like, well, that, you know, bless God, she shouldn't do that. Or bless God, why is he acting that way? Well, maybe it's because he's just trying to, it's a cry for help. I need help and I don't know where to go for it. Well, you know, if our church ever gets to the place where we're a country club mentality instead of a hospital mentality, our church is dying. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a golf club where the elite come to fellowship. You know what everybody in here that's a seasoned Christian ought to be? Myself included, we're doctors. You're nurses. You're getting people that are coming in sick. Are you in Ezekiel? Or are you in Lamentations? Ezekiel. Let's go back to Ezekiel. This wasn't in my plans, but I want to show you something because the Lord really spoke to my heart about this. Excuse me. I got to find this real quick. Ezekiel, go to 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. And honestly, I thought about teaching about this, but this is something I'm kind of digesting myself. But I want to show this to you. Ezekiel chapter 34. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, verse 1, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel, that do feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. If a shepherd's job, if the Church of Jesus Christ, if our job's not to bind up the wounded and to help those that are diseased and help those that are sick with sin, we're no better than these shepherds that God's talking to right here. He says, woe unto you. Woe unto you because you've just done it because of what it provides for you. I mean, why do you come to church? Why do I come to church? Is it just for the fellowship? And just clocking your church clock, time clock? Or is it because you're coming to help somebody and to be a blessing to somebody? Okay? What's the difference? It's a soft heart or it's a hard heart that's not being touched by something that you're... Mine eye, when I see a young person that's having problems, mine eye affects my heart. And if my eye stops affecting my heart, it's because my heart's hard. Okay? And we got to think about that. Ephesians chapter 4. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. What happens when we get a hard heart? Ephesians chapter 4. Okay, so if we get a hard heart, or if we're blinded and we don't see the things that we're supposed to see. We don't see, you know, you walk past person after person every day, and God gave you eyes for a reason. And if you can see somebody and it doesn't affect your heart, there's a problem. It's not with your eyes, it's with your heart. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse number 18. Bible says, having the understanding, this is talking about the Gentiles, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Why? Because of the what of their heart? Blindness. Blindness. If you stop seeing with your heart, you're going to stop being affected by the things that you see. Okay? We can't ever let the young people, and we can't ever let, you know, listen, other people in here, you ought to be sensitive to your church family. Okay, if you see somebody that's down, there's probably a reason that they're down. Why don't you go up to them and be an encouragement? Be a church family that comes together and say, hey, you all right? Everything okay? Man, I'll be praying for you this week. And lift them up to the Lord in prayer. Be sensitive to that. Because if we get blinded with our heart, we're not going to see these things. What's another consequence? Romans chapter 1. What's a consequence of not letting our hearts being touched? Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Everybody, this is a familiar verse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They couldn't see, it was dark. Their heart, what is that? Okay, you keep going down through Romans chapter 1, and it goes through the depravity of man. I mean, down to the bottom. Where did that start? A hard heart. A heart that wasn't affected by things that surrounded it. Okay? We have to be careful about that. If we go to 1 Samuel chapter number 10, 1 Samuel chapter 10, I love this story about Saul. And where Saul, God called Saul to go be the king. Samuel anointed Saul to go be king. And first of all, Saul said, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. But then the Bible says, but God gave him a new heart. A new heart. 1 Samuel chapter 10, I think is verse number 9. God gave him a new heart. A new heart. You know, Ezekiel chapter number 36, we see that God gives the Israelites a new heart. A heart not of stone, but a heart of flesh. As a leader, Saul had to be given a heart that was touched by those around him. If he's not touched by those around him, what's a leader for? What's the shepherds for in Ezekiel chapter number 34? They got their hearts hardened where they weren't, when they saw a lamb that was crippled, you know, this is spiritual application, I understand that, but in a physical sense, they saw a lamb that was crippled and they weren't willing to fix it. They saw a lamb that had a disease and they weren't willing to give it any medicine. Their hearts were hardened. All they were wanting is the money from the flock. Okay? And if we get to that place as Christians, okay, that's a curse of God. And it's shortly before the church starts dying. As Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. But Chad, how do I keep my heart soft? Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. How do I keep my heart soft? How do I always stay affected? And so I don't, you know, when a young person comes in or when I see somebody that needs help, how do I stay where I'm not, my heart's not hard? Listen, if you can go weeks and weeks and weeks and you hear message, and I know, I hate to say there's only so many themes in the Bible, but there's only, you know, most of you, you've heard everything, all right? But basically, it's, you know, you get saved and you live for God, okay? I mean, you can pretty much sum it up, you know, win the loss. I mean, there's a few themes that pass, but if you can go weeks and weeks and weeks and, you know, you hear at least four messages, if you're faithful to church, you're going to hear four messages, you know, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Generally, four things were going into the Word of God. If you can go for weeks without that being, that something touching your heart, you've got a hard heart. I'm just telling you. All right? I can't go two services without God saying, you need to work on that. Okay, does that mean I go to the altar all the time? No, but listen, if I don't go to the altar, you know who's watching me? Yesterday, we had the teen rally. Okay, Brother Chris Miller, which we're having in September, he preached a teen rally, did an excellent job. I'm very much looking forward to have him come. And he talked about trusting God, and it was a great message for our young people, because one of the things our young people struggle with is that trusting God, that God with your future. Because God doesn't ask us, I'm going to get off a rabbit trail here, but God doesn't tell us what our future is. All God asks us to do is trust me with your future. Well, that's a scary thing for a young person. If you've never been there, okay, some of you got saved later on in life and you're kind of committed to where you're at. But as a young person, you got your whole life ahead of you and you say, all right, God, I don't know where you're going to send me, but I'll go anywhere. That's a scary thing, okay? But he talked about that. But I don't even remember where I was going with that. Oh, okay, all right. I'm where I'm at in life, okay? I went forward yesterday and prayed. Okay, now listen to me. Were there things I need? Okay, do I trust God with everything in life? No. So I can go forward and pray that God helps me get better at trusting God with the unseen future. Because I'm only 30, okay? And I know that's, you know, everybody, that's pretty young for most of everybody in here. All right, I'm 20 years younger than most of you, at least. All right? But that means there's a lot of other stuff that I've got to do in my life. Where's God going to send me? What's God going to ask me to do? Where do I have to take my family? I don't know. Okay? But you know, one of the reasons I went forward yesterday is because I had 10 young people in the pews with me, or 12. And I want them to see that Brother Chad can get with things better with God. Okay, if my kids sit in the pew I'm just going to pray here. Hey, and I understand some people it's hard to go forward, it's hard to pray. But you know, Baptist young people are the best peekers in the world. They know who goes forward and they know who doesn't. Okay? I'm glad to see these front pews empty out during invitation. What does that tell you, Brother Chad? It tells me that their heart is soft. Okay? If I see a young person that's, you know why some people migrate back? Listen to me. Brother Chad, you're meddling. You know why some people, young people, move back? Because the closer you are to the front, the easier it is to go forward. I'm just telling you. I try to get our teens, when we go to youth conference, we don't sit on the front row generally, but within the second or third row. The closer you are to the front, you know why it's easier to move back, all right? Because it's harder to go forward the farther back you are. I'm just saying. That's human nature. Brother Chad, are you picking on us? No. That's okay. You want to do a survey? All right. I mean, it's science. Okay. It's not anything. You know, it's just science. But I don't ever want my heart to be so hard that when the young person's, well, Brother Chad hasn't been to the altar in 3 weeks. They know. Okay, they're not stupid. Young people are not stupid. They're a lot smarter than what we give them credit for. Okay? I don't want my heart to be that way. Did I tell you Ecclesiastes? Did we read a verse there? Sorry. I got sidetracked. My rant for the day. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Verse number 2. I was listening to my Bible on the radio, and I listened to this the other day. Yesterday, I think. Or Friday, when I was driving. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Huh. What in the world does that mean? A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. All right? I'm going to give you a real simple illustration. Okay? Now, let's say I'm right-handed. Okay? And a lot of people, predominantly people, are right-handed. Okay? That's fact. All right? Not that you're weird if you're left. You're just weird. All right? But predominantly, no, I'm kidding. Everybody's going to be mad at me now. Predominantly, people are right-handed. Okay? All right? The Israelites were predominantly right-handed. Okay? Why did it say that Ehud that went and killed Eglon? Was it Eglon? Remember, he was left-handed. That's how he got his sword through. Okay? So, obviously, that makes sense, that everybody right-handed. Okay, so a wise man's heart, the Bible says, I'm right-handed. Okay, right hand. Wise man's heart is in his right hand. Now, if you're predominantly right hand, which hand do you use to do most things? Your right hand. Okay, now you may have heard preachers preach this before. So if I'm right-handed, everything that I do... what's the Bible saying? There's another verse in Ecclesiastes. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. Okay? And then, but there's that kind of, if your heart's not in something, you're not doing it with all your might. Does that make sense? So if your heart's not into it, if a guy's working for me and his heart's really not into it, doesn't matter. He's not working his best because his heart's not into it. Okay? So the Bible says a wise man's heart's in his right hand. However, realize what that also means? Is that it also means that everything that I touch, my heart's in it. Now, here's two challenges here. That means everything dirty that we touch, our heart's affected by it. Our heart's affected by it. So you watch something that you shouldn't watch, or you listen to something that you shouldn't listen to, and your heart's affected by it. Okay? A fool's heart's in his left hand. Here's what happens, and I'm just going to tell you what happens. A lot of people, they give their heart to it. Let's say I've got a young person here that I'm really investing in. And I'm giving time and time and time and time. And I'm investing. And so I give my heart to this young person. And then they turn around and they hurt this. So because they hurt my heart, because of everything I've poured my heart, because my heart's in my right hand, a wise man's heart's in his right hand, because my heart was in my right hand, I've poured my heart into that young person. And then they've hurt it. A fool then takes it and says, all right, I'm still doing my work with the young people, but I'm not letting my heart get touched. I'm going to put my heart over here. I'm going to protect my heart. Okay? I'm protecting my right hand. Remember, my right hand does my work. My left hand is protecting my heart. The Bible says a wise man's heart's in his right hand. You know what that means? This is going to get hurt. This is going to get hurt. But and for so many people, it's so easy to say, all right, I've been hurt 5 times, 6 times, 10 times, 20 times. You live for a young person to do what's right. And everything, they're doing good, and then they make a decision, and they hurt. Everything that you've put into them, the time, the resources, everything, goes down the drain. And you know what's so easy to do? All right, I'll still run my bus route. I'll still work it. But my heart's not in it anymore. But you know the only problem with that is a young person, if you're going to touch a young person, if you're going to touch anybody, they got to know that you love them. And if you don't love them, this is in vain. The only way to transfer that is to have your heart in your right hand. But, Brother Chad, it hurts. Yeah, that's what a heart of flesh is. Because a heart of stone, if I get a hard heart, I can still have my heart in my right hand, but if my heart's hard, eh. Sticks and stones may break my bones. You know, whatever. But you know, words really do hurt too. All right? But what we do so many times, we transfer this over to here. And we still come to church, but our heart's not in it. We still you know, do whatever you have to do to be a Christian, but your heart's not in it. And then your heart, you know, it's over here. But everything you do, it doesn't make a difference. Go to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter 9 will be done. Or we'll go to two places in Matthew, we'll be done. I'm going to show you Jesus, the greatest example. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Bible says, but when he saw, so his eyes, remember Lamentations chapter 3, verse 51, mine eye affecteth my heart. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. What caused Jesus to be moved? He saw. Okay, if you stop seeing the young people and if you harden your heart, you're not going to affect them. Because Jesus saw, he was moved, and because he was moved, he did something about it. Let's flip over a couple pages. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Jesus saw, he was moved, and he did something about it. That's because his heart was in his... Don't you think that Jesus got hurt? What do you think it felt like when Judas did what he did? What do you think it felt like when Peter denied him 3 times? Don't you think that hurt? But he still kept his heart in it. On the cross, Jesus had his heart in his right hand. Okay? Mark chapter 1, I'll just read this and we'll be done. Mark chapter 1, verse 41. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Let's never let our heart keep it soft and keep it in your right hand. Let it be touched. Is it going to get hurt? Yeah. It's part of it. But if we ever move it to here, you can do the work, but you won't affect anybody. All right? Don't ever lose your heart for people. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Pray that you help the services there to follow. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.